Just to finish up this article that was in New Times, there were more issues that were brought up that were one means of attack after the other about, as I say, the Europeans, the neutrals, disliking the Soviet Union, the Polish people being informed by Radio Free America and not the Soviet Union. They said suspicions are revived that you can't trust Russians. Therefore, how could you trust the arms control? Well, if you can't trust them, then you may as well get rid of atomic weapons, both of you, and have some kind of a verification. Because what did the Chernobyl disaster have to do with verification? And then the next week, Ronald Reagan said, I'm throwing out arms control. The article continued that the pro-Soviet peace marches should be destroyed, that the Soviets are a menace to the environment, that Russians can't question their leaders like Mr. Gorbachev. We can't question Ronald Reagan. He goes to the fourth grade or the sixth grade of his school and has his answers on cue cards, and nobody can question Ronald Reagan at any single time. Then the article continues about the economic ills and the agricultural problems and the fact that Russia will have to sell their gold. It turned out that the clouds went over the Ukraine and didn't fall on the wheat basket, and the food commodity market that was manipulated, and I'll do more next week, was totally out of keeping with what really happened, and the speculation of the food damages and so forth. The Wall Street Journal had an article April 30th, 4 days after the explosion and 2 days after the Western world knew about it, with a picture of Mr. Gorbachev titled, Accident Gives Gorbachev a Host of Fresh Problems. From what I read in the paper, it's Ronald Reagan who's having the problems with Raymond Donovan and Paul Exalt and Michael Deaver and the budget, the money, the excess debts that we can't manage. Our foreign trade is off. The banks collapsing, the farms closing, the pollution, the no money to clean up the pollution, no medical health plans. I think our country has like 160 major problems I could list. And the Wall Street Journal is saying Gorbachev lost face in the world. Then they go on, it's a kick in the face for Gorbachev. Then another part of the article, weaker international position, and the scare in Eastern Europe about him, so that within 2 days of when the Western world knew about the accident, interestingly enough, William Martell from RAND Corporation from the Pentagon is writing the opinions for Wall Street Journal, and another Russian is Alex Alexov, is from RAND Corporation from the Soviet Union, is writing for the Washington Times. So all of the vitriolic, angry talk about the Soviet Union is coming from the Pentagon that pays the RAND Corporation to write these studies. And this whole disaster, this nuclear disaster that we could have had there but the grace of God, became a synchronized attack, just as when the Korean airline went down, against that evil menace about not trusting them. They lie, they blame the lower level, your neighbors won't have anything to do with you. The Scandinavians don't want a nuclear freeze. The peace people shouldn't get involved with Gorbachev. And the hundreds of articles that came out in 1 month is just horrendous, and I've been separating them. Now, there's another side to this story that is very interesting. Shortwave radio in Moscow has had three broadcasts, May the 30th, the 31st, and June the 1st. The May 30th one, a friend listened to them and tape recorded them, and I transcribed what was on them. Shortwave Radio Moscow, May 31st. This is Saturday, the broadcast, and this is 4 days after the world knew about the disaster, 6 days actually after it happened. The broadcast said a rise in the level of radiation in the Federal Republic of Germany in early May, and this was May the 4th, it turned out, just 8 days after the nuclear reactor broke down in Chernobyl. In early May, local media hastened to ascribe to the Chernobyl incident. What really was a major breakdown at a nuclear power plant near the city of Yume or Hom. This person didn't recognize it, and I wanted to look it up at the Atlas in Germany and see where it came from. He wasn't sure of the spelling. But they went on and said it has been reported by the economic minister of North Rhine-Westphalia in Dusseldorf, Germany, that the power plant managers concealed the fact from the public and the authorities that the accident in the German power nuclear reactor took place in early May and is still causing discharges of great amounts of radioactive graphite. The same kind of a nuclear plant that didn't hold in Russia was leaking nuclear material in May, just days after, 8 days after the event in Russia. Shortwave Moscow, June the 1st. A nuclear reactor, this is a follow-up, at a power station in Hamm, Federal Republic of Germany, has been stopped after the management tried to conceal a grave accident that occurred the 4th of May last month. The accident resulted in a large-scale radioactive discharge into the atmosphere. The management claimed at the time that the sharp increase in level of radiation supposedly registered in the region of Hamm was due to the accident at Chernobyl nuclear plant in the Soviet Union. It took experts almost 1 month to even deny the claim that this happened, but while they were denying it, has been now discussed on Radio Moscow that a nuclear plant was leaking this radiation out of Germany 8 days after the Chernobyl accident, and Germany was acting holier than thou within 2 weeks of the accident. Now, the Washington Times, again, Reverend Moon's paper, and Moon was one of the founders, as I say, of the World Anti-Communist League, which is a hotbed of Nazis from Germany and from fascists from Southeast Asia and Taiwan and Japan. They had a long article, March the 19th, and in the box it cites, with the exception of the atomic explosions in Japan. It doesn't say with the exception of when America unleashed plutonium and uranium into Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That was an atomic explosion. Those weren't bombs of against families and not soldiers, you know, homes and women and children. They referred to an explosion. They said the Chernobyl accident is equal to all radiation exposure accidents, and many of these go back 20 to 30 years. That's Dr. Robert Gale, who went to the Soviet Union to, in quotes, help them with a disaster and came home as a tremendous propagandist. He is saying that is, with the exception of what we dropped in Japan, the Chernobyl was equal to the exposure of all the past accidents. But he doesn't say the past testing, whether it was Nevada, whether it was in the atolls in the Pacific, on the islands, whether it was the French testing of weapons at the time the Greenpeace ship was dropped. They have testing over the ground. We have dropped so much of the atomic particles, and the incidences of cancer today could be coming from what we dropped. He's talking about accidents, but he doesn't use the word test, the atomic test, and the actual bombing that we did. He's careful to add up the accidents. Well, there weren't that many accidents, but there were lots of tests. And that, again, is coming from Reverend Moon. But along the lines of the World Anti-Communist League and the papers that Reverend Moon is putting out on this incident, Helmut Kohl was whipping up a story which was synchronized to the Chernobyl accident and fit in beautifully, as I say, with the summit meeting in Japan of Ronald Reagan. Every year there's a crowd in Germany from the Sudeten, a group of Germans who were part of Czechoslovakia until after World War II, and they were strongly pro-Hitler and pro-Nazi, and they fled to West Berlin, where they have an annual convention every year. And last year there was an attempted riot or demonstrations to join the two Berlins and to give Czechoslovakia back to its own form of government instead of control of the Soviet Union. And after Reagan went to Bitburg and put the wreath on the cemeteries, Helmut Kohl went to talk for his annual meeting with the Sudeten group. There were 75,000 of them that met May the 19th. Now, if the Soviet Union was dropping atomic particles as of May the 4th up to the 31st, it's very interesting that 15 days later, Helmut Kohl, the chancellor who set up the Bitburg ceremonies, is telling the Sudetans, a crowd of 75,000, that Russia should make payments of $90 million for the damage that they have done to Germany. And the Soviet Union answered back and said, there's no proof that we did this. They said, within days of the accident, $90 million of harm has been done to agriculture in Germany, and maybe the harm is being done by this nuclear reactor in Germany that was leaking since May the 4th, and Helmut Kohl was using it for his political rally of the Sudetans in as of March the 19th. The article from the Washington Times said Kohl was speaking to a crowd of 75,000 people at the annual reunion of the Sudetans. He said that this nuclear reactor has caused so much damage that they want to take it to the world court. A man named Wolfgang von Geldern, a high-ranking ministry official from West Germany, was quoted as saying, West Germany would take its case to the International Court of Justice if Moscow refuses to pay Germany $90 million, and Helmut Kohl is saying Gorbachev should have addressed the question of plans for compensation, the damages to West Germany, and we'll take it to the world court. That's what he was talking about, which becomes a double scandal if, in fact, it was the German radiation that was leaking from that plant. Now, the Sudeten area is a nest of agents set up to instigate World War III, to take the land away from Russia that they took after World War II. And there are references to the Sudeten specifically in several books. One is Galen's Spy of the Century, written by Mr. Kukerich, and it refers to a criminal, literally a war criminal, Captain Theodore Oberlander, who worked with death squads and planned to kill large amounts of people in the Ukraine and was responsible for horrendous murders. And he began to be an aide in West Germany after the war to Konrad Adenauer, the first prime minister or president of Germany after the war. And during the war, he was working for the Galen operation in the Ukraine and in that area around Kiev and the Ukraine. And he, in 1942, he was teaching these various Russians who became part of the Nazi Germany entourage how to blow up operations of infiltration, of sabotage, of blowing up bridges, of railways, and working for the Nazis as saboteurs inside Russia. And after the war, Oberlander was one of the bigwigs and is today of the World Anti-Communist League. Mr. John Singlaub, who's the chairman of it and who works with the National Security Council and now the White House with Ronald Reagan, has Mr. Oberlander from Europe and the Sudeten working with Wackel at a time that, in 1986, whipping up these stories at a time when Reverend Moon of World Anti-Communist League is also publishing articles about the operations in the Soviet Union and making a real propaganda media thing instead of sticking to the facts. Another book about Oberlander and the Sudeten is called The New Germany and the Old Nazis, because the old Nazis are now the current Nazis working with our White House and National Security and with the Vatican and the Knights of Malta. It was written by T.H. Teetons, published by Marzani and Mansell in 1961. And this explains the relationship of Mr. Oberlander and John Foster Dulles to a Mr. Richard Sollet and a Mr. Becker, who worked with Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda, and this news about Chernobyl reads like Goebbels' diary of propaganda. And these men worked with Mr. Ribbentrop and then with the United States government. And this book, New Germany and Old Nazis, cites in 1961, people from Congress, 36 senators and 57 congressmen that went along with the Nazis that were responsible for mass murders and then were put into the government in Germany and now work with our Defense Department and our policies. And there's certain congressmen listed here that were in touch with these Nazis and still are. Among them was Prescott Bush and Strom Thurmond and Wallace Bennett. That's from the Mullen Associates in Utah. I mentioned just briefly last week, a few things or 2 weeks ago, on the Mullen Public Relations Office that set up the Watergate entry and is a public relations office for the Hughes Organization and for Covert Action and Counterintelligence, Free Cuba Committee, and so forth. Now, Mr. Oberlander worked, described in the New Germany and the old Nazis, he worked as part of a resettlement program where the deaths of hundreds of millions of Poles and Czechs and Ukrainians would happen after the war. Reinhard Galen said they would take 30 million and make them slaves and 40 million would be killed. So to release a little atomic powder and to blow up a a station there, such as Chernobyl, whether it took all four or was closed down with one, the Germans have had no love for this particular territory. Also in the news, there's a lot of articles. Gene Kirkpatrick had one just this week on top of the Chernobyl story on breaking the Yalta Agreement. And there are a lot of questions on why the boundary lines remain. And the Chernobyl thing, I believe, is a Cold War operation along with the sabotage of these officers planned a long time ago. And simultaneous with the nuclear leaks and the distrust of Gorbachev, Gene Kirkpatrick was talking about the Yalta Agreement. And in the book, The New Germany and Old Nazis, Mr. Tietens, in talking about Oberlander, who's currently active with our administration, the present administration, and the past ones, he cites that the motives for race hatred and the obsession of the Germans, not only for Jews, but for Poles and Ukrainians and Russians by the millions, was going on during the war. According to official German figures, not Russian figures, German figures, of the 55 million victims of World War II, 35 million non-combatants were killed in Eastern Europe alone as a result of war and occupation. The large groups of Sudeten Germans, and that's where Helmut Kohl was talking this last weekend or the week before, to 78,000, the large group of Sudeten Germans in Poland played a vital role in Hitler's Holocaust. They filled the ranks of the Gestapo, the Waffen-SS. They fought fanatically to Germanize the Slavic land, and it was in light of this record that the Allies decided at Yalta and Potsdam to set this group back to the borders of when the war ended in breaking up Berlin, East and West Berlin, that the Nazis had fled the eastern part of Europe and went to West Berlin to retrench again, and that the plotters were sent home in order to stop their conspiracies. And in 1945, fate caught up with the Sudeten Germans, is written in this book, and they were simply sent home to Germany, and they were forced to leave Czechoslovakia. They wanted back, and of course, the statistics from Germany said they were responsible for 55 million people dying. And if you wonder why there's a boundary or a separation place where the Germans, East and West Germans, break off in the Soviet sphere of influence remains, it's because of the 55 million people, 35 million that were civilians that weren't even in uniform and weren't part of the massacre. Now, this Dr. Theodor Oberlander, who works with Reverend Moon and Arnaud de Borchgrave, and the very people printing these articles in the Washington Times, Dr. Oberlander joined Adenauer's cabinet in 1953. When he was suggested to be part of the cabinet, they brought up the Lemberg massacre in South Poland, where 5,000 Jews were slaughtered. Dr. Oberlander does not deny that he was the commanding officer. And it seems funny that now with Kurt Waldheim wanting to be president of the United Nations, not the president of Austria after being head of the United Nations, if they just brought up the amount of people he sent to the death chamber, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Because in Germany, they brought up the subject of massacres in the Ukraine. And it's in the Ukraine, in this area, where this reactor went off, that the problems were brought out about of Mr. Gorbachev. And there are many people of Reinhard Gehlen's team inside of that area. Gehlen was head of Hitler's intelligence of the Eastern Division. He was given a flat $22 million off the top, and much more later by Alan Dulles, director of the CIA, the same Dulles whose daughter married the head of the publishing firm in Vienna, who recommended Waldheim to be secretary of the prime minister of Vienna. Now, at the time the Chernobyl blast took place, experiments were taking place there, and that could be another way to sabotage the plant. The articles, well, this one's from the LA Times, experiments at Chernobyl underway at the time of the blast, and they were being conducted there on the reactor when the explosion and fire occurred. Moscow was notified within less than 3 hours of what took place, and the nuclear safety officials said that they had lowered the nuclear heat to 6 or 7% of their entire capacity because they were going to make annual repairs on the equipment. And in that same place, experiments and research work were being done when something went wrong. This is Los Angeles Times, May the 22nd. A major thing took place, and the experiments, they weren't sure, had any relation to the accident. They'll come out with a report eventually. and they didn't know if they were connected with checking some of the systems of the station. So people, scientists, working inside of that plant could be tampering with things because they were working right there at the time. They could say they were misguided experiments or whatever, and some of the people inside of there died right away. One in particular was buried right inside of the machinery there, but somebody was tampering with, not tampering, working on the plant at the time that this happened, and that would be a perfect way to sabotage and get out of that situation. Now, the newspaper synchronicity of articles at the time these events take place is always very interesting. The Los Angeles Times had an article April the 27th. The Chernobyl nuclear disaster happened April the 26th, but the world press didn't know till the 28th and 29th. So nobody knew it at the time except the people in Russia. Allegedly, it was only picked up by those in Sweden, unless it was a agent provocateur kind of thing and the powers that be knew about it. Because the interesting article, a long article, a quarter of a page, entire page of the newspaper, April 27th, the very next day, when nobody knows about it except the Russians, a long article, huge numbers of Soviet rebels collaborated with invading Nazis. And this is the story of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and then up in the Ukraine, in the area, it's got a map of Kiev. Interestingly enough, this is the day after the explosion when nobody in the West was supposed to know, with a map of Kiev and the Ukraine in the Los Angeles Times. And the gist of the article is that there have been a lot of people inside the Soviet Union that collaborated with the invading Nazis. The article says in the Soviet Union, where it bore the brunt of the war with Germany, which was 55 million killed, 20 million just holding one city, collaborators appeared on a large scale unequaled in modern times. Large numbers of non-Russian ethnic minorities seized what they perceived as a chance for liberation and independence. RAND Corporation, and this is the third article from a different newspaper citing the RAND Corporation as if they're the only people that know anything about nuclear reactors or what's inside of Russia. And this time, third time, RAND is referring to the fact that a lot of people prefer Nazism to communism. In fact, the excuse in this article for Russians joining the Nazis and fighting with the Nazis to infiltrate or sabotage the Soviet Union cited the fact that Stalin was hard on a lot of people. There was a drought where 3 million died in the Ukraine and 10 million perished in Soviet labor camps. So if you add that up, the reason for the people inside the Soviet Union joining the Nazis was that approximately 13 million died at the hands of Joseph Stalin. But the plans to take the Ukraine of Reinhard Gehlen were to kill 70 million right off the bat, and that 70 million described in Gehlen's Spy of the Century, well, 30 million would be slaves and work till starvation, 40 million would be killed outright, would be added to the 55 million, if you follow the numbers, that died during World War II. So that's 125 million versus 13 million. So the score on that seems to be lopsided in the favor of mass murders rather than a few million murders. None of this makes sense, you understand. I'm just being really cynical. I'm giving you the real facts that have been cited over and over again on Hitler's plans for the Ukraine written by these people. But none of this at all makes sense any more than the 36 million starving in Africa today and the 20 million that have AIDS. We just throw numbers around like you throw pebbles into the ocean. They lose their meaning, and we do become numb by these facts. But this article in the LA Times goes on, and it says, despite Nazi brutality and the dismal record of German occupation policies in these territories, Soviet non-Russians collaborated and fought with the Germans for Nazism because it was the lesser of two evils. Now, this was written by Robert Gillette, Los Angeles Times, which is literally saying to the world one day after the Chernobyl, but which nobody's going to know about and Sweden isn't going to report until a day later on the 28th, that people do prefer Nazism to socialism, that there's two evils and they prefer and it's all right. He's literally saying, I can understand why they do it and the timing of it is important. The article goes on, 1 million Poles were taken out of Russia during the war in 1941, but were returned after the war, and these events caused many to identify with the invading foreign power. Now, it's sort of like when Jimmy Carter wouldn't go into Iran and take the hostages, and they all came home alive. You'd think that they would appreciate the policy of slowness or care taking care of them. 1 million Poles were put away during the war, but they all returned. And so the logic of this writer is, therefore, they became Nazis, because when the war was over, they were sympathetic to the Nazis. The fact that they lived tells you something, because they could have been among the 55 million in the area that were killed and didn't live. But anyway, this was synchronized just at the same time period, and it's an article to explain how 400,000 of the people who favored Nazism over what was happening in the Soviet Union got visas to emigrate to the United States. Now, a lot of those worked in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with Lee and Marina Oswald when they came home from Russia. They came in from the Tolstoy Foundation, from the Greek Orthodox Church, and the CIA foundations. 400,000 of those people from Eastern Europe who preferred Nazism to the communism were brought to the United States. And this explains a lot of the people behind the news media describing the events of Chernobyl, and also explains possibly the people in Russia who could make the Chernobyl happen, the explosion happen there. Well, this is Mae Brussel, and it's 8 o'clock. It's time of the hour. It's top of the hour. I'm going to have to cut it short now. I got 1 second. Thank you for the articles and books you send to me, and I'll be back with you next week. This is KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.